That's Tim McGraw, and it's WJR's Tim McGraw VIP Experience, your chance to rock when country music legend Tim McGraw brings his Pawn Show Guitar Tour to Pine Knob Music Theater August 28th, and you could win a pair of premium pavilion tickets, transportation courtesy of MetroCars, and $100 to Buddy's Pizza. To enter, all you got to do is download the free WJR mobile app, find the secret keyword, and then text it to 800-859-0957. Download the free WJR mobile app, find the secret keyword, and then text it to 800-859-0WJR. More information is available at WJR.com. So we've been watching the fallout of the Scott Pelley firing from 60 Minutes at CBS. And the question that many people have been asking, well, what role did Donald Trump have in this, right? Oh, we saw that after the Stephen Colbert exit from The Late Show.
Right.
And if there was pressure from up above, I don't think that's the case. I think that there is a shift happening at CBS News. Barry Weiss comes in,
but CBS
changes
did pay
things.
Some money though. Didn't they pay some money out for something? Did they pay the
Donald
Trump for something?
Yes.
Too? So
it was a 60
minute.
Of course. Yeah. The 60 Minutes interview with Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
But does this change the way that journalism is looked at or should be received by you? Fred Volte is a professor of journalism in the Department of Communications at Wayne State University and joins us to talk about it. Professor, good morning. It's good to have you.
Good morning. Good to talk to you guys.
Let's talk about it, because there was a contentious meeting between the crew at 60 Minutes and the new executive producer that was brought on. And Scott Pelley seemed to take umbrage with the fact that he didn't believe this person was qualified for the job. And there was a very public, at least according to reports, kind of lashing out by Scott Pelley. And that seems to be the catalyst for his firing. What did you make of those reports, and what's your analysis of it?
Well, remember, he's not the beginning of the story here. So that meeting was in reaction to a couple of other people getting pushed out the door at 60 Minutes already. So Barry Weiss called a meeting with her new executive producer, and things kind of went south from there. So it seems like Scott Pelley's been, 30 years with the network now, or close to that, kind of took umbrage to some of this and wanted some fairly direct answers and didn't think that he and his product were being treated fairly or honestly. Management then, as management will sometimes do when you call them out, decided that they were going to bring an end to things. And that's, again, that's not the beginning of the story and it's not the end. What I'm seeing just this morning is that the few remaining correspondents at 60 Minutes got together last night for an hour to talk about their future. So we're kind of, I think they're in a hiatus right now for the summer, so they've got some time to try to patch things up and put it back together. And depending on who they can have and what, you know, which of the technical people are around that can still put a show on the air, we'll kind of know some more when we get to fall and when the season opens up again.
Friend, management argues that Pelley essentially undermined leadership and disrupted the workforce. Where is the line between standing up for journalistic principles and insubordination?
Well, that's one where we pretty much have to call it every day, don't we? Y'all are doing journalism, and that's a decision people have to make on the spur of the moment. There may not be a firm line between there. And I think we'd all like to think that when something is disrupted to the point, so one of the people who was pushed out was the woman responsible for the CECOT report, you remember, back in December, right, when they, Barry Weiss, with a couple of hours' notice, held up a report that was already ready that was widely thought to be the sort of thing that would anger Donald Trump. So she's out the door. Other staffers, other producers were out the door. And it's really hard to say that, a response to that is kind of going over the top if you're saying, the line that set things off was, well, I think you brought her in to murder 60 Minutes. It's really hard to say when that goes too far over the top.
Do you anticipate, and just in your crystal ball, you talked a little bit about, the hiatus now and going into the fall. What does 60 Minutes look like on the other side of this?
That's going to depend on who's left and what they can put together. It might look pretty much like it does. And if you look at 60 Minutes' audience, that's actually held pretty stable over the past year or so. CBS News in general got a little bit of an initial bump when Tony took over the anchor spot, kind of fallen back to where it was. It's very comfortable third place among the broadcast networks after that. People tune into news for theory we call uses and gratifications. People use the media for different reasons. And if what people are used to is on Sunday night, I get three good magazine-style reports, there may not be too much impact. If people look at this and say, this is too much interference, I'm not sure I can believe what I will see on here anymore, that could cause an impact, or it could settle somewhere. And the crystal ball is really cloudy on that.
Many Americans already distrust the media. Does a public fight like this deepen that skepticism, or could it actually increase trust because people are seeing the internal tensions play out openly?
It's unusual to see this much tension play out openly. It has happened before. It's happened in the mainstream media. It's happened in the partisan media. We don't see it all the time, but it does crop up. There's a chance that some people will look at this and be heartened. There's also a chance, you know, there are some people who, you know, I don't think it's going to make more people distrust CBS. I think the people who already do are going to be, would be very hard to persuade. People who are in the middle, people, again, you have to remember, most people don't pay attention to what goes on in the glass offices. And when we hear about that, so you remember the Washington Post, their big non-endorsement in 2024?
Yep.
Right. They took a big hit from that, and I think part of that would be because people could see the difference. You could pick up your Washington Post, and there would not be a presidential endorsement where they were expecting it. They took a huge subscriber hit around that time. Will people actually see a difference in CBS when they turn it on? I think it's kind of like the news. We make a lot of noise about the changes. We make a lot of noise about somebody coming in because we're media watchers. We do that kind of thing. What do people see on the ground? New York Times didn't take a hit when they basically got rid of their sports section and their copy desk. That's, again, were people missing something that they couldn't get anymore, or could they look at the product and say, nah, it's pretty much here, I'm good for that. Now we're going to turn over to Macy's ads and the world coverage.
Well, and the other part, too, is people like consistency. And when you pull that rug out from under them, there's already going to be a built-in anger. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see if that's reflected by the ratings and how many people are watching 60 Minutes. Professor Fred Volte, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Interesting insight. And we'll talk again soon.
Enjoyed it. Look forward to it.
Yeah, okay. You got it. Interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib has pushed to pass legislation that would put halt the brakes on the Lebanon War Powers resolution, this back and forth with Lebanon. And it has caused a real division, not only amongst Republicans but Democrats as well. And you have those that are on the more moderate side of things saying that, you know, we need to watch this closely. It's basically ripping open old wounds. Mm-hmm. And Rashida Tlaib is making a lot of people angry. Not the first time.
No, I'm going to say, are we surprised?
Done really? That in Congress.
Yeah.
Coming up on the other side, Donald Trump says gas prices are coming down quickly. Are they? We'll talk about it.